I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Comic Book Nation's Quick Save, our gaming-focused segment where today we are excited to recap Halo Season 2, Episode 4, Reach. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me today is Comic Book Nation co-host Matthew Aguilar. How you doing, buddy?
What's up?
And we are excited, as I said, to be talking about Halo Season 2, Episode 4, Reach. And as the title already kind of tells you, this is one of the most pivotal battles in all of Halo's lore. The battle known as the Fall of Reach. It is the event that immediately precedes the beginning of the first Halo video game. It was later explored in a prequel game that was very popular and successful, Halo Reach. And now we get it in live action TV form. Matt and I were both given, you know, full disclosure, the first four episodes of Halo, as most press people were. So we got to screen this, but it's so much different to see it now in finished form with the fandom kind of behind it and people. And us being able to see what we thought, because whenever you screen these things, you're kind of in this weird bubble where you know how you feel, but you have no idea how that syncs to like everybody else. But over the course of the season, everything we were kind of holding our breaths to see, like if people could take the slower kind of character focus, the pieces being moved, the, you know, the improved writing and focus of each episode, and would it pay off in a kind of big Game of Thrones style battle episode, which is what we got here with Reach and this whole kind of, you know, from the opening to the close, this balls to the wall battle that is happening between the Covenant and the people of Reach. So we are so excited to finally be able to talk about this with you guys to break it down. And you got to stick around for later in the show because we have a very, very special guest. And obviously, if you're hearing this and you don't know that this is a spoilers recap, this is your one warning. Spoiler alert, this is a spoiler recap podcast. So we are going to be talking about spoilers about Halo Episode 4 Reach. And I have to say that as a prelude to saying, we have the man you may want to be hearing from right about now if you've just watched the episode. Bentley Kalu is here, Vanek himself. RIP to our man. We have a lot to talk about. We have a lot to talk about with him. So we're not, this is not just a Halo Season 2 Episode 4 recap. It is a post-mortem. So we have a lot to get to. Matt, how are you feeling now that you can be unburdened by knowledge and fully talk about all of this out in the open?
Well, I think you put it so well when you said like it feels like a bubble, because it really does. And you're kind of, you know, I was excited, as I know you were, because of exchange Slack messages, right? Of like, oh my God, of things, and being able to see people's reaction to it. It's one of those things. Like, I'm glad episode four is out there. I'm glad people can really see some of the things we've been talking about over the course of this four episode arc. Because I feel like, you know, a lot of things we've teased and talked about as far as like, hey, it's leading somewhere. I feel like this episode delivers on and also this is really just the, you know, first chapter of this, right? Like, really, because it's not like it ends here. This is very much an opening salvo, a giant one, but like this really is like the start of this kind of next big arc and all the ramifications this event has. So I think in the grand sense of things, this episode delivers. I think still on the, you know, the thing we love about the show is how it kind of hones in on the characters and focuses on who these people are and gets us invested in them, so that when things do go wrong and happen, they feel like gut punches. This episode does not pull any punches in that regard. We lose several people along the way.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Yeah, and so I feel like, though, if you didn't have those two episodes, and even that first episode, if you didn't have those episodes of real jumping into characters and making you understand why you should care, this episode doesn't have the impact that it does. But it very much does. And I just, man, I also think, and we'll get into this as well, but just the fact that all of this happens, this huge battle, and you know, you get like the big speeches and the inspiring moments and all this without Master Chief in armor, to me makes such a, like, that's such a credit to what they've done on the season and on the show of like, I care about Master Chief as a John. I care about the person underneath the helmet and underneath the armor. And this episode is a testament to like the work they've done, because there ain't no armor in here. And I, man, yeah, those scenes kick.
I'm invested. I was so surprised that you were not out of this episode the minute in the beginning they said they took the suits away and you realized there was going to be no helmets in this. I was so surprised that you didn't turn off the TV and just slam down the keyboard and be like, are you kidding me? Because we know how you all get. We all know how you get about helmets, man. You get a little nuts.
But... I do love helmets. I love helmets. So, which should be a compliment.
Yeah, no, but that was, yeah, when they said that right in the beginning, I was like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, there is no like MacGuffin get to the suits thing. It's like, we're going in. We locked in. And yeah, no suits, just the people versus the Covenant. And I was like, wow, that is high stakes and that's different. But it definitely worked for me. And like, I will say the thing that I liked about this episode was, again, how they're using resources and kind of being smart. How, even though this is a big battle episode, this is uniquely one of the first big battle episodes I've ever seen. That, first of all, we jump scenes, there's cuts, it's not like a one take, but like how the sequences of the battle just kind of, it's just like keep moving, you know, from one area to the next, and just like literally just through, and you get to see Reach, they're going through like shops and alleyways and stuff like that, and just the set piece itself is so kind of just fully built, and they're fighting Covenant in like, you know, the streets and knocking into shops and like all of that. You feel like what Reach is. It's like Andor, like it's a real place. Like the extras are running, like there's people in the background. It's not just a hollow soundstage like so much of the first season was. Like this place is now like realized. Director Craig Zisk, who's done so many like different TV shows, and some of them, like, you know, some of the acclaimed ones, just besides this, just Interview with a Vampire, For All Mankind, one of my favorites, Wu-Tang and American Saga, New Amsterdam, Manifest. So like this guy's got a lot of experience. But what was so unique is it didn't break from the character story that we've been building all season. Each battle scene, it centers around a character or a couple characters, and you're like literally seeing things from their perspective. Like when Louis goes out, like, you know, it's Riz. You don't see him die. You see Riz watching him run up with the thing, being like, I, you know, knowing she doesn't, that's her friend and she doesn't want that. But, you know, he goes out like a G and takes out that tank, and you see the horror in her eyes after she's been like blown back, and just the camera shots and the way we get the perspective of the battle and the violence and the effect of the violence is really, really powerful in this. Like when Louis's boyfriend or husband gets killed, and Riz sees that and sees him laying dead there, and then you just follow her running out of the building and grabbing Louis, and then he starts asking like, where's Daniel? And you can see, like, you know, on her face, like what to say, and that's heartbreaking, right? Like when you know he's blind, he's just running, and it's better than just, you know, some big gory epic, you know, death scene for Daniel where everybody's screaming and he's dying in slow-mo. Like that was just, it's so fast paced how fast people go, you know, how fast you get whittled down, how brutal the violence is. And that thing that Master Chief says in the beginning, just like, so it's both a good way to spin plot armor, but it's just also a very heartbreaking tell, foreshadow of the episode. Cause he says, whenever I go in a battle, you know, I just know it ain't going to be me. And Perez is like, that must be nice. And he's like, no, not really. And you just, yeah, and this exactly. episode then just concretely illustrates that to you, that like No, it is not fun. He, you know, to be the one to survive when you watch all your friends and all these people around you getting wiped out. Like, yeah, it's pretty bad. You know, my one criticism here in Halo, though, I mean, Halo, come on. How y'all going to take out every black character down to one? Like, what is this? We literally just spent most of the episode whittling away my people. Like, what are we doing here? Like, we lost Major Keys. We lost Louie. I mean, he might have been albino, but like he was still in the culture, you know. We lost him. Like, we're down to what? Soren, and we lost Vanek. We're down to Soren now. I see what you did here, Halo. I see, but it's okay.
By the way, okay. So by the way, so
King Woodbine is always the survivor. What's that?
I gotta say, like, this is easily my favorite Soren episode to this point. That dude is an MVP throughout the entire episode, because like there's not a lot of lightness here because obviously of what's happening, but he has some of the best reactions throughout this entire episode when he's like talking to the admiral in the elevator and he's like, you know, he's like, oh, what does he call him? He's like, oh, you're a thief. He's like, and then he gets in and he's like,
you're a pirate. Yeah,
you know what are you supposed to be? He's like, 2 seconds ago you said I was a pirate. Like, he's got so many great one-liners when he's like doesn't want to follow Halsey. And then he turns around, the way he cusses, it's just the way he delivers it. It's just fantastic. Like, he has so many gold reactions throughout this whole thing. He's a low key MVP, man.
He's just like, I mean, we've been discussing it, but he is like weirdly like one of the longest lasting, most reliable like character actors. Like, it's just everybody thinks he's like a young, weird Sam Jackson clone. So, but like, he is like one of the craziest character actors out there because he's always so entertaining. And whether he's just playing some weird version of the Shocker in Spider-Man, like, or doing this, like, he's just got that thing, man. And he is so entertaining to watch because he is so like intimidating but funny at the same time. Like, and him and Halsey, I could just watch an entire show about him and Halsey trying to get out of something together, and they're back and forth. Because it's
and
just
what's
such
crazy
a good,
about that.
It's just like, yeah, such. Yeah, go just does that mother thing, that like horrible mother thing, like really well. And he's just like so susceptible to it. And it's such a weird dynamic because he just like wants to kill her, but she like mommies him, and he's just like, he can't deal with it. And it's so.
And there's actual revelations along the way too, right? Like, they actually continue that to build that story for, like, you learn now you're really having questions as to whether Halsey let him go back then, whether he actually made out, you don't quite know what's real. And she, throughout the whole thing, like when she's asking about his son, and he's like, I'm not talking to you about my son. Like, I hate your guts. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much of that there, but like, they continue to do that as the city is crumbling around them. And what would have been easy to make a like one touch point sequence of just them trying to make it out and make it funny, they're actually still doing story stuff along the way. And like, they do that in every single instance. Perez has several moments of that. Riz has several moments of that throughout this episode. Like, the one big missing piece is Kai. And so that's interesting to see where that fits in, because like, Kai wasn't in this episode at all.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
That brings me to my next interesting point, which was, I was like so sure when I went into this watching this that it was going to be a single episode, like a single battle episode. But I think the most surprising thing that now has me kind of like, ooh, like for the back half of the season is this wasn't a single battle single episode.
Right.
Like, we end and we are still very much in peril. Like, it's, we are still in the thick of it, and episode 5 is still going to be pretty lit too. And Kai is a whole thing. Like, yeah, where has Kai been and what has she been doing during this is a big piece that is conspicuously missing. And also, you know, what we see with McKee in this episode and mm-hmm. like, where is that headed? Like, where physically is Cortana? Because I'm so curious at this point about how much, you know, obviously there's certain things we cannot no longer do to sync up with the beginning of the first Halo game. Master Chief being on a ship, escaping, you know, escaping the fall of Reach and getting Cortana the first time from Major Keys is something that's absolutely not going to happen here. But, you know, right. But like, how does this kind of, I feel like we can still spiritually sync up, because what the beginning of the first game does, and I didn't realize that till I went back and read about the first game again, because who knows this story? Nobody does. But when you go back and read it, like, you realize that, like, yeah, you get to the Halo so quick. You leave and come back in the game, which is still one of the weirdest turns of a game I've ever seen. Like, it's like, now I'm going to be out. Oh, we got to go back to that place. All right. And so, but you do, this is supposed to lead into the Halo ring. So, I mean, I could see, you know, John getting aboard a ship or something, or following McKee, but like, I feel like this is going to sync up in the sense that we need, like, Cortana, you know, John and the Covenant landing on a Halo ring pretty soon. And so, like, how that all comes together will be different, but I think we still get kind of that end result, and I'm real curious to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, same. I really just thought, because of the nature of shows and needing to move pieces around, right, and budget and all that stuff, that, like, it would be a one, like, this would be, Reach would be the one episode, and then maybe you deal with some fallout in, like, you know, obviously other episodes, but the main battle would be done. And the fact of where it ends, and a big chunk of the group is still there, and, you know, Ackerson has the suits on a ship somewhere. They're not even there. Like, they're not even on Reach from what it seems like. And Cortana's probably, you know, somewhere on that thing. Like, there's so many pieces still left to explore that I was already going to be excited for the back half of the season, but I just think people will be surprised that, to like, no, this isn't done. We're going to continue to move forward. And if they can do what they did here, and look, we got to get to, before we get to the our wonderful interview, because I got to say, Bentley was a delight to talk to, even though we had to talk about the sad subject of the character's death in the show. That last battle, that last fight. I mean, look, you wanted to see, you know, Master Chief holding an energy sword. They make the Elite feel, live up to their name. Every time an Elite shows up, that feels like a genuine threat, and it's just one. And this thing has, you know, you got 3-4 showing up at a time. So
yeah, I wanted to talk about that, because they are crediting this, and this guy, is this supposed to be our Arbiter?
So this is, they haven't come out and said straight up like yes, but all intents and purposes, it does feel that way, because number one, they keep referring to him as, oh, hey, it's your old friend. Like, they keep, you know, Vanek makes that off the cuff line, because they recognize that this is the same one that John has been encountering now time and time again. So they haven't come out and said like, oh, it's the Arbiter, but they essentially, yes, that one.
Yeah, I mean,
feels,
he's always with,
like,
McKee, like, and he's just like, yeah, and they've kind of like established it, and they do credit him in the season 2 credits, which is so weird. So this is why I keep feeling like this is it. They haven't.
He's
said
a big
it.
Deal,
like,
and they're setting the touchstones there for an eventual, I'm sure, kind of bigger reveal of like, hey, here's why you should pay attention to this guy. But all the building blocks are there.
Yeah. So yeah, no, that end fight, and yeah, like you said, it is the Covenant in this season feel like more than just NPCs. They're just like, they feel like threats. Even the little Needler guys, when they were coming over with the shields in overwhelming numbers, you're like, oh, crap. Like, that's not great. And yeah, the fight with the Arbiter and Vanek, and just taking it with a Needler and those little guns from the game, like, making those feel like threatening, like, yeah, shooting a spike into you that explodes is gnarly. Like, and so, yeah, in Elite, and there's like a Crimson Elite, I think, that shows up at one point in this thing. Like, it is, they are threats, and like, and the combat and the tactics for like close quarters combat with the gung fu and all that stuff was, I mean, just great stuff. And so much better to see with the actors and stunt choreography than CGI characters just duking it out. This was not that Halo season one finale, which is something I never want to see again, but I'm really digging it because of what you said. I mean, we could go over every single detail of the battle all day, but it was just like, I didn't get up off the end of my seat until this was over. And I was just like, by the time it was over, I was like, whoa. And it wasn't even in the way I expected, because I knew I was getting a battle episode, but I thought it'd be like just straight up kind of Games of Thrones-ian. I didn't know it would be this kind of intimate and intense. And I was here for it. And by the time it rolled and I realized, oh, this is not going to all wrap up, I was like, no. It's like, I need more. Give it to me now. And they haven't given me anything. I'm now in the dark with the rest of you.
Yeah, I know. Now we got to wait.
Yep. And these recaps are going to have to pop off later in the week. Oh, man. Here we go. But I'm here for it because the season has earned my attention. It's earned my trust. I'm excited. Halo season 2, episode 4, Reach, really is bringing the fall of Reach alive in a way that I don't think we've seen. And yeah, well done. Well done for everybody involved.
Well done. You will probably start seeing more and more Master Chief merch in my collection. I'm a fan. I'm a fan. This has made me a fan. I've played a lot of Halo games, and he's always been cool. I'm not taking anything away from, like, Master Chief has always been a cool character as far as like the armor, the design, the feeling like a badass. It's always been cool. But I've never been like a giant fan. You don't see any Master Chief merch behind me, because it's just like, I like it, but it's just never been something, right, that I feel like, oh, I got to add that. This show has made me a fan of this universe and has made me a Master Chief fan. I got to like go out and get some. I got to get some merch. This is gonna happen, and that's a credit to the show. That's a credit to what they, what it feels like they rebounded from, and what they're trying to do with the season. So,
facts. All right. So, I think we've done the thing. I think we've talked about it and got it worked out. There's only one thing left to do, Matt. It's talk to the man that we lost. R.I.P. Yeah. Vanek. But before we send him off, we got to have a great chat with Bentley Kalu, which Matt did. So check out that interview. Now,
is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Matt Aguilar here from Comic Book Nation's very own gaming-centric channel, Quick Save. And today we are talking to one of my favorite stars of Halo Season 2, Bentley Kalu. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing? A pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely, man. It's been a joy to watch Vanek really start to break out of his shell this season, and really, you know, and we'll get to, obviously, this is like the, we're going to be talking spoilers here for episode 4 of season 2, Reach, because by the time this comes out, that episode will be out. So that episode has been long awaited, and, you know, just teeing things up for later. Can I say, man, my God, is something else. But before we get there, I want to take a step back to like the first couple episodes of the season, because, you know, we we had a chance to talk to Pablo about the first, you know, couple episodes, and one of the things he said was how much of a joy it was watching the other Spartans and the rest of Silver Team really like get to kind of have their time to shine, really start to see who these people are in season two. And I feel like your character is an embodiment of that. You know, in the first episode, I think it's like the first 10 minutes, you know, we're already starting to see, you know, parts of the personality come out, and it's great. What has that been like for you, kind of going from season one to season two and getting to explore more of that, your character?
You know what? That's been actually very rewarding. Creatively enriching for me. Season one was, you know, I had to go to very dark places to get him, you know, because he was so stoic and very by the book, by the mission statement. That's what he operates by, basically. And I had to go to some, you know, really extreme places, you know, being in the suit, trying to get that performance to really translate. There was a certain scene in one of the episodes, I think it was episode five or six of season one, where I had to stay away from the cast because of the scene we were getting ready to shoot, right? Yep. And it was kind of Vanek's, kind of, he was breaking away from the norm. And I didn't really hang out with them too much for a couple of days before we shot that scene. So coming back with season two, and what I really loved with the first 10 minutes was Kai, Vanek and Kai, because there was a little thing that we had in season one. And I thought to myself, I'm like, there's so much that could be done with these two characters, right? And voila, the first 10 minutes of the first script, and I was like, great, I was really happy with that.
Yeah, someone got the memo, right? That was it was great. And that too, you bring up a really good point, because what I love about this series, and especially in season two, is that we're really getting to know the people beneath the armor, right? And when we dive into episode four in a huge way, and just because when that's kind of taken off the board, like, you have to have a character that you care about. And I think this season so far has done a really good job of making you, investing you in these people as people, even when the armor and the guns aren't, you know, out and everything. Do you kind of feel the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the funny thing for me, I actually like performing in full armor. And it's a very weird thing, because it's a different challenge for me, because you have to bring the nuances of character in full armor with the helmet. And you have to show people when you're like, you know, when there's a sense of levity about you, or when there's a sense of doom. And you have to do all that in the armor. So that's another layer of challenge that I actually really liked, you know, and contrary to what a lot of people might think, I really love that, you know, so I was happy with it.
Now, is that armor? Is the armor comfortable? Is that a joy per se in that respect?
Well, you know what? I will say this: depends on who you're asking. Number one, right? And depends on what scene you're shooting. I would say the armor has a mind of its own. I'll just put it that way. So, if you come out there, and the one thing you don't want to do is approach the armor with a hint of arrogance, because it will humble you. Yeah, it'll humble you really, really quickly, right? So you want to be as respectful and just treat it like another human being. You know, it's almost like if you get into a fight, your opponent, right? You have to respect it. You can't go in there arrogant, right? So that's what I learned. I learned that quickly from season one. You have to be respectful. And as long as you get yourself in a meditative state, you know, and connect with your breathing, mind, body. Like, it sounds cliche, but imperative to your mind, body, your breathing, and then you stay calm at all times, you make it through the day.
That's amazing. It's like, it really is like another person. You just described another person.
It's like a sensei, you know?
you know, and that leads us to, you know, Reach. We've been dealing, I mean, it's been building all season, and there are some this episode really, number one, everything hits the fan from an action standpoint, and we have all that going on. But we also have character growth and character arcs in here, because there's a lot of stuff. I mean, Chief has been, you know, has had his team taken away, has had the armor taken away. You know, the sanity was in question at one point. You know, and here it's like, oh, he was right. The Admiral has an amazing line in this episode where he's like, please, I was hoping you would actually be dead so that I didn't have to hear the I told you so. I thought that was such a great, that's such a great line. So how does, you know, Vanek kind of deal with that in real time? Cause there's not a lot of time to actually like, you know, hey, my bad. there's not a lot of time for that in this, but you still got to get it across, you know?
Yeah. But you know, it's, okay. I would say within the whole Silver team, right? If you watch, Vanek was the closest one that almost kind of believed Chief, right? Out of everybody, even though he was still, I'm not trying to exonerate myself, okay? He was still, he was still part of the Dallas, right? But like, you know, the time when they were in the, when they went to search for Cobalt team, and he asked Kai, oh, do you believe him now? You know, that was the line of Vanek through the Kai. So in my own defense, you know, Vanek was kind of, he was kind of on the fence. He was kind of Switzerland, you know. but by the time we got to him, because Chief, it was like the Gilda cried wolf, right?
Yeah.
It was a game. First time it was a game. The second time it was real. The third time, but they were like, you know, she's done this, you know, a couple of times before. So I think underneath the camaraderie around Silver Team is, you know, even if we doubt, we still have to go down in the flames with him. You know, that's right. What we do. You know, we've been trained since childhood to be this way. So,
yeah. And that leads us to, I mean, they've been, you're always kind of, there's something in the back of your head, like, all right, what are we going to get in, you know, Reach? When you title the episode that, you know, it's kind of like a bar, you set a bar, right? And there is so much action here. And it also, in a big way, pays off the previous two episodes of real kind of character-focused episodes, because those episodes really jump into Silver Team, jump into kind of the extended family of those, and all that matters here, because I feel like all that kind of pays off throughout this episode. Otherwise, this episode doesn't hit as hard. You know, for you, it's... That there's a couple great fight scenes, but that final fight sequence we got to talk about, because that is a I feel like, let's talk about it from this angle, because I think what's cool is that it all goes down without the armor. The armor is iconic, it is really interesting that like this whole kind of first arc anyway of this battle is done without the armor, and you're just seeing how complete badass these people are without a helmet or with. Is that, what did you kind of think of how that was all put together in that approach?
You know, so first thing that I thought when I read it, I said, okay, it's quite interesting. It's a different take than I anticipated, because, you know, I was thinking of it, you know, it was the traditional full armor and, you know, high stakes battle. And we started, part of the things that we did when we had fight scenes in armor, right, we would go rehearse. And when we rehearsed, when it was time to shoot and we put the armor on, there were some moves that we couldn't really nail because of how cumbersome, you know, the armor was. The funny thing was, without the armor, I was so nimble, and I had so much fun, you know, going through those fight sequences, because I thought to myself, wow, I feel like I can fly. You know, right. I mean, that's an overstatement, but, you know, I was thinking like, wow, I can do this. Like, this is, you come out the armor and everything you do outside the armor is child's play, as opposed to when you get,
there's not resistance, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're fighting in armor, it's like every punch you throw is like somebody's pulling your hand back as you're throwing a punch. That's how it feels, you know? But the fight sequences were great. And we had some amazing, the stunt coordinator was fantastic. And you know, just a decent human being knowing how to communicate, you know. And we got to the point where I felt like it was telepathy. Like he would just look at me and I would know exactly what he wanted. And if I did something that wasn't up to par and they said cut, I would look at him and we wouldn't even say nothing. I'd be like, I got it. Next take, I got to up my game, you know. So it's an organized chaos that I really love. I'll put it that way.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's a perfect way to put that. And once we get to what I've also enjoyed about the season is that we've made the Covenant, the elites, you know, everyone feels like a real threat when there's just one. You don't need. And in this episode, we don't even have that problem. Right. There's like, you know, 90 of these dudes. There's tons. But like we don't, even when one shows up, there's a great sequence where you know, an elite shows up and it's like in front of Soren and Halsey. And it's just one coming out. And that feels like a genuine big deal. So when you get multiples coming out in that final sequence, I feel like it's just, I don't know, the stakes are suitably high.
Absolutely. And deservedly so, because, you know, I mean, the Covenant, they're you know, they're iconic, you know, they're this iconic antagonist, you know? And I just feel this did real justice to the aura that surrounds that whole planet and that whole, you know, fleet of you know, treacherous antagonists, you know, and that's what they deserve. They deserved it. And they got it. I feel like, you know, the job was fantastically, you know, creatively put in place throughout that episode, especially,
yeah, and then there's, of course, you know, you have to make those, another way to make those stakes high is obviously that not everyone's going to make it. And we lose a lot of people along the way to this thing. And again, it makes it feel, you know, like you really start to, like, question. You came in with a thought of, like, okay, like, I maybe, like, we'll lose, like, you know, one person. Maybe lose two. It's like, nah, we got to, like, lose, like, five, six, you know, and that's just... You know, the people on screen, like, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, for you, because I was sad. I was very sad because here's the thing. I was making it through that final fight scene and I went, okay, we still got everybody. I'm good. We still got Silver Team. We're good. And then I saw things. The energy sword gets picked up. I was like, I don't like this. it's making me feel I don't like it. And then we get to that part. I literally, like, you know, my wife was like, everything okay? I was like, yeah. I just, you know, something happened on the show. She's like, oh my God, you got to quit doing that. Yeah. So here's the thing. Did you, when you saw that this was how that battle ended and this is how, you know, Vanek's death happen, what were your first thoughts? Because it does involve, like, an iconic weapon. It involves, like, you die in a completely, like, heroic kind of badass way. You're taking on an elite. Like, I mean if you're gonna die, I feel like that's the best way to script that thing. I don't know, how do you feel about
it? I felt the same way. So I felt this way. If that was gonna happen, there was no better time, no better place, and no better sequence of events, excuse me, that led up to that, you know, to that moment to happen that way. You know, if he is who he is, and he is pretty much one of the most traditional of the whole group, right? What do we do? You know, we're heroes. You know, what do? Heroes live for other people, you know? And the speech that Admiral Keyes gave it, you know, before the elites came in, he said, look, not everybody's going to make it. You know, he said, when I look around, you know, I don't see fear, you know. I see soldiers, you know. So that's character wise, that's what we live by, you know. And I mean, of course, it was a little bit, you know, heartfelt but if it's gonna happen, you know, I think it was structured in such a way that he was given his just due. Put it that way. I know the fans. I got a lot of fans, and I know my messages are gonna, you know, blow up and all that. But hey,
yeah. I feel the same way. I'm kind of heartbroken about it. If it's gonna happen, I agree with you. I think it's like, you know, what better send off can you ask for the character wise as far as that goes? You know, it wasn't something like, oh, he died off screen, or like, oh, you didn't see it over here. Like, that's stupid. Like, that was, that sucks. Like, you know, if it's going to happen. But at the same time, I just, you know, there's a part of me that like, oh man, I would have loved to see more of Vanek and Kai. I would have liked to, because like, you know, we don't see Kai like at all in this. Yeah. So like there's stuff there. And that's also stuff that I, you know, obviously we'll probably see in future episodes, right? Because Kai's going to learn that at some point you know, what happened, right? So
just keep watching.
what can you tease about how the rest of this season plays out? And also just like, what's your favorite experience from the whole thing to this point?
Okay. First of all, how does the rest of the season play out? I would say this, not to give too much away. I could use certain keywords. I would say betrayal. There's an alliance that, a weird alliance that you wouldn't expect, that you probably would see in a later episode, right? And you would have also a bit of a confrontation, a relationship that, you know, gets a bit testy, you know. And again, you wouldn't expect to see that. So those are two things that I could say, right? And the third thing I would say is just keep watching. And as far as how it played out, could you say a second question again? I missed that.
Oh yeah, what's your favorite, experience memory from the whole thing up to this point?
Memory. Well, the hardest thing was training. The suit was, it's kind of like an alien body. You know, you get into it, but the most rewarding thing was when my body started operating as a unit. You know, when I got my conditioning, my mobility, and I got my strength, my core training, get everything, and then everything starts working together. And then it's pretty much bliss, you know. Some of my fondest memories is one of them, we were shooting in Iceland, and we went out, the scene where, in I think episode 3, where Riz was training. And yeah, and we were in the waterfall. And yeah, that was pretty, it was stressful but blissful at the same time. You know, it's kind of like adrenaline takes over. And I remember one time I fell in the water with the whole armor, helmet, and everything. I fell inside the water, right? And the water waterfalls coming from the top, and I'm inside the water. You know, yeah. And I thought that was bad. And then I got out and I looked across and I seen the stunt guys playing in the water. But they had full armor on, and I'm like, wait a minute, I just fell in. But they're deliberately going in. So,
oh my god! And you're sitting here panicking, like, oh my god, I gotta.
Yeah. But overall, amazing. I had a blast. I absolutely had a blast. I've taken a lot of things from that experience. Funny enough, that I apply to my personal life now. You know, that has been pretty awesome. You know, it thickens your skin so much, you know, that you look and you think, you don't believe that there's anything you can do. You know, I don't think there's anything on any set that would give me any sort of anxiety or, you know, doubt, you know, after coming off that. you know. So, you know, I'm honored. It's been a pleasure. I really love the experience, and I'm really grateful that I did that. You know, it was a memorable page in my career.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this. I've immensely enjoyed the series. This season has been great. I know we saw a body, but you know, I'm always gonna hold out hope. I mean, you know, we got like Force Ghost and crap. We can get Vanek back somehow. So I'm just gonna hold out hope for later on. All right.
I like you, man.
Season three is a what? It just comes back and you know, hey, whatever. That's what I'm putting out in the universe.
You never know, man. You never know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We want to thank Bentley Kalu for coming on Comic Book Nation's Quick Save to talk about his epic final episode of Halo. RIP Vanek, we will miss you. The Spartan team will never be the same. We are Comic Book Nation, and if you are just jumping into this for our Halo recap, we have a whole nation of shows you can check out. Be sure to check out Quick Save also every Thursday, where we talk about the gaming industry and break down what's going on. We've just launched Anime Initiative, our anime-focused show, which did a great episode breaking down the anime you should be watching on Netflix before and after The Last Airbender comes out. Every Friday, me and Matt form like Voltron with our regular Comic Book Nation host for the live show that does it all for geek culture, so be sure to check that out as well. And every Wednesday, Matt takes over the comic industry with the pull list, where he tells you guys what the hottest comics are to be reading. We also have, for all you Marvel heads, over on the other feed, Phase Zero for all the Marvel focused stuff. If you're a Pokemon head, there's a feed for you with A Wild Pokemon Has Appeared, our Pokemon featured podcast, where you can take that obsession and, you know, share it with a bunch of other people. And I think I've covered everything the company needs me to cover. I don't think I left anything out. So that's everything on Comic Book Nation feeds. I am Kofi Outlaw. This is Matthew Aguilar, and we will be here doing Halo recaps on Quick Save for the back half of this awesome season 2. Hope to see you guys back here, and stand strong. The Reach will not fall.